welcome to Moedonia Vrije Hebrew Club once again. Thanks to everyone for coming, for those of you who tune in. Remember, we are now available on iTunes. They're slowly putting up the passages on iTunes. Last time I saw they only had one of them, but he told me they're going to look and try to get the others, so we'll be able to have access to them there. Today's segment is 1 Samuel chapter 4. We got through verse 2 last week. If you will remember, the Israelites were against the Philistines in battle. The Philistines struck, and at the end of verse 2 there, about 40,000 people of the Israelites were lost in the battle. All right, so this is kind of the consequences of that, what happens next, and you can see how God's prophecy to Samuel and against Eli plays itself out in this segment. So we're going to start with 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3, where it starts, Vayavo. Okay? So, Vayavo ha'am el ha'machaneh, vayomru zikne Yisrael, lama negafanu Yahweh hayom lifne pelishtim, nikcha eilenu mishilo et aron berit Yahweh, Veyavo be kirbenu ve yoshienu mikaf oivenu. There's a lot of yunus there. Yunus. All right. And the people, Vayavo from Bo, of course, and the people came to the camp. So they went back, you know, from the battle line to the Machaneh. And the Ziknei Israel and the elders of Israel said, why negafanu? Okay, notice that. Negafanu. What's the root? You can see it? We had it actually in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, I believe. It's from nagaf. It means to strike or to smite. And this is a simple call. Third masculine singular plus first common plural suffix. It looks weird because the new ending, you're going to think right away, oh, that's we, right? First common plural perfect ending, but it's a suffix, and Yahweh is a subject, so that helps you, and also the pointing will help you. So why has Yahweh nagafta struck us? Okay, hayom today lifnei pelishtim, before the Philistines. All right, so that's what the elders are asking. And notice they go right to the source of their problem. They go right to God. Kind of notice what they're assuming about their failure in battle. And notice what kind of world they assumed. It's God who's in control, God who's supposed to be on their side, God who seems to have acted against what he said he would do. All right? So here's their solution as they interpret, you know. So notice their failure in battle is a theological problem. All right? Nikcha. Now you guys all know this word, but it looks really strange, and you don't see it too often. Can anyone see the root? Lakach. It's a very common root. It's lakach. And this is actually a cohortative from lakach. There is no dagish in the kaf. Sometimes the kaf is one of a number of letters that sometimes the dagish isn't there. So this is a cohortative call from lakach. Just keep this form in mind because you're going to see a very similar one in a few verses. Okay, so here's what the elders say. Let us take... Okay, that's what it means. Just like katal niktela, see, let us kill, or you know, whatever word you use there. So if you had the lamed there, it'd be nil kecha, would make perfect sense. But the lamed is gone. So let us take eleinu for ourselves, mishilo from Shiloh. Here's the direct object, et aron berit Yahweh, the ark of the covenant of Yahweh. All right. Veyavo, notice it's not a vav consecutive here. Following a volative form like a cohortative, a vav is normally, very commonly means purpose or result. So that it might go bekirbenu, into our midst. And so that it might, okay, what's this word? So that it might, from yasha, so that it might save us or deliver us. This is from Yasha. It's a hifil. So notice that's why you have that yo and why you have the hirik under the shin. Ve yo she'enu. and so that it might save us mikaf from the hand of oyveinu, our enemies. So vekirbeinu veyoshienu mikaf oyveinu. Alright? So that's their solution to this problem. We need to have Yahweh actually with us in battle. Alright, any questions about any of the forms in verse 3? Alright, here it comes then, verse 4. Vayishlach ha'am shilo, vayisu misham, et aron berit Yahweh zevaot, yoshev ha'kerubim, v'sham shenei b'nei eli im aron berit ha'elohim, chofni u'pinchas. Okay. So the people sent Vayishlach Shiloh to Shiloh Vayisu, and they lifted up, or they took from, what's the root of Vayisu? Nasa, right. And they took from there et Aron, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts. Okay. Now notice the next form. What's the next form?
Participle.
It's a simple participle, sitting, right? Who is the subject of the sitting, or who's doing the sitting? Is it the Ark or the Lord?
Yeah, it's
Yahweh, right? So notice how you would translate this in English. And they took from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, who sits, see, or you could translate maybe more substantively, even though there's not an article there, who is the one sitting on the cherubim. Okay, on the cherubim. Notice that again you have a phrase that doesn't have prepositions, very common in both prose and poetry, to leave out what we need in English. In English we need on the cherubim or above the cherubim or something like that. It's simply understood from the context. So literally it's sitting the cherubim. All right? But you know it's not the cherubim doing the sitting because it's singular participle. Okay, Visham, now here's another circumstantial clause. And there, or maybe in English, also there, were Shnei B'nei Eli, the two sons of Eli. Notice here, the number two is in construct. Okay, the two sons of Eli, with the Ark of the Covenant of God, namely Hophni and Pinchas. Alright, so notice it mentions that little fact because of what happens in a few verses. Alright, so we already know who Hophni and Pinchas are from the previous chapters. And so notice it's now, as soon as you're reading this, it recalls to mind all that's happened, the prophecy about them. And so all of a sudden the reader knows, something's going to happen. God's beginning to carry out what he promised he was going to do, see? So notice if you're reading from chapter 1, who these two guys are, what's going to happen to them, what's been said about them, is kind of there in your mind. So when he recalls these two guys, it comes to the front of your mind. Alright? So the text is very kind of interesting that way, and things are foreshadowed. Any questions about forms in verse 4? Alright. Verse 5. Vayahi, kivo aron berit Yahweh el hamachaneh, Vayariu kol Yisrael terua gerola, vatehom haaretz. All right. Vayi, and it came to pass. Okay, what form is this? Kevo. Infinitive construct. Notice that the preposition in front of it tells you you're not dealing with a finite verb. You're dealing with an infinitive from bo. Okay. Notice that with a kaf you have this temporal expression, and so in English you translate it. Now, as soon as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord entered the camp, or came into the camp, Vayari'u kol Yisrael, all of Israel shouted. This is from the root ruah. Okay, gave a shout. Resh vav ein. Shouted out loud. Okay, so all of Israel shouted a teruah. So now you know that word. See, it's from the same root. Shouted with a teruah gedolah, with a great shout. Right? Maybe you translate that more adverbially, shouted out loud or shouted loudly, but shouted with a great shout. Now here's a kind of a strange form. Va te hom. This is from the root whom. He vav mem. And now, remember if it was a call, you'd probably have a comets under the tav. In Kol, it means to be in confusion. This is actually a nifal form of the hollow verb. Okay, tehu home. Normally, if you didn't have a guttural for the hey, you'd have a dagish in that guttural and a hirik under the prefix. All right, but here it spits it back out, and makes te home. It's only used here, this form, and Kaler Baumgartner has the translation to go wild, which I really like. So literally, it's and the land went wild, or we'd probably say and the place went crazy. See, that's how I would think it in English. The place went nuts. So the ark came, the place went crazy. So they were very confident. All right. And so let's see what happens after that. Any questions on verse 5? All right, here we go. It gets good. Vayishmeu pelishtim et kol hateruah vayomru mekol hateruah hagedolah hazot b'machane ha'ivrim. Vayedu ki aron Yahweh ba'al ha'machane. Okay. And the Philistines heard. Right, but again, in English, we probably translate this in a temporal way. When the Philistines heard et kol, the sound of the shout, vayomru, they said, what is the sound of this great shout? I don't know, you almost want to say, what is the meaning of this great shout? All right. In the camp of the Ivrim, in the camp of the Hebrews. Okay. Vayedu. Then they realized. See, from yada to know. But then they realized, and now notice the key following a verb of perception or knowing is an object. Then they knew, or then they realized, that the ark of the Lord, Ba, had come to the camp. Alright? It's like, Pujols hits a grand slam and you're outside the stadium. What happened? Ah, the Cardinals just went into the lead, seventh game. So I heard it. Way to go.
Okay. Prophecy now?
Yeah, here it is. I am predicting. The Cardinals, they'll win. Let's hope. Okay. Any questions on verse 6 about the forms or the syntax?
Who else is going to score a home run?
Yeah, let's hope Pujols does. And I think Taguchi will, because every time he gets up, he hits a home run. Yeah. All right, verse 7. Vayira'u ha-pelishtim. Kiamru ba Elohim el hamachane, vayomru ohilanu ki lo hayitzak hazot et mol shilshom. Okay, now this root va yiru. Okay, notice the method after the hirik. That tells you that this is not from the root ra'ah to see. What root is it from?
Yeah.
It is from yara. Yare, to be afraid. Okay, so sometimes that is written with the extra yud, so you'd have yira or yiru, but here it's not. Okay, so and the Philistines became afraid, for they said, God has come to the camp. All right, so they kind of notice that they recognized the actual presence of Yahweh with the ark. They knew the connection. And notice how they interpret this event of the ark coming. God is now with them. And that can be frightening if you're fighting someone and all of a sudden God's on their side. Okay, that's what football teams do all the time, see? And they said, Oy lanu, woe is us. Ki for not haya, not was, or not has been as this. Notice the zot is feminine. Why is it feminine? What is it referring to? Not as this. When it says not as this, what's the this that they're talking about? Anyone see? It's this event of the ark coming into the camp. And so notice that when you talk about abstract ideas and events like this, common Hebrew practice is to refer to it with a feminine zot. Okay? Not has there been like this yesterday. Now this shilshom, you can see from the root, it means 3 days ago. So literally, there's not been like this yesterday or the day before yesterday. It's kind of an idiom for there's not been nothing like this either previously or for a long time. OK? Okay, so it's really yesterday or 3 days ago. Yesterday or the day before yesterday, really. Okay, everybody see that? How it's an idiomatic expression? You'll find it in a handful of places in the narratives. Any questions about verse 7? All right, verse 8. Oy lanu, there it is again. Mi yatzilenu miyad ha-Elohim ha-adarim ha-ela. Ela heim ha-Elohim ha-makim et mitzrayim bekol makah bamidbar. Okay. Oy lanu, woe is us. Hu yatzilenu, what's the root?
Natzal.
Natzal, right. And notice it's a hiphil imperfect. And it only occurs in the hiphil. Who will deliver us? From the hand of the God. Now notice you have plural endings on the adjective and then on the demonstrative. So literally it's from the hand of the gods, the Adirim, the mighty gods, the these. See, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? Gazanius suggests that the plural could be a plural of majesty. So that you could possibly translate it, this mighty God, with the plural being intensity and not number. It's hard to tell in this context because it's in the mouth of the Philistines, who were probably polytheistic. In fact, I'm sure they were. Okay. Ela, as for these, they are high Elohim, they are the gods. See, as for these, notice how the these is put forward in this clause. As for these, they are the gods who makimed, who struck. What's the root? Naka. Notice that this is a hiphil participle from naka, and it's used as a substantive, as a noun. So as for these, they are the gods who struck Egypt, bekol maka, with every blow. So with every sort of blow, bamidbar, in the desert. Okay? Questions about verse 8? Alright, verse 9. Hit chazku v'yu la'anashim pelishtim penta avdu la'ivrim kasher avdu lakem v'yitem la'anashim v'nilcham tem. Okay, it's like they have Bill Parcells here coaching them at halftime, actually, is what it is. Okay, hit chazku, from chazak, to be strong. Notice that this is a hit pael. So strengthen yourselves. Something like take courage. And now notice here you have a call imperative from Hayah. Take courage and become, notice Hayah plus Lamed, and become Anashim, and become men. Alright, so you can almost hear the rantings of the football coach at halftime. Come on, be a man. Hit the guy. Because that's what they're doing. Take courage and be men, O Pelishtim, O Philistines. Lest, Tabdu, you lose the game big time. See, lest you serve La'ivrim, lest you serve the Hebrews. Notice that Lamed is used as a direct object marker here. Lest you serve the Hebrews. Kasher, as they have served you. Lakem. Okay. So you must be, see, vihitem, a vav plus perfect form. So you must be, notice it's still exhortation. You could translate this, so be, same way. So you must become men, v'nilcham tem, and you must fight. Nifal from lacham, commonly only occurs in nifal. Okay? So here comes the final stroke. So, and you know, the halftime speech actually worked. Va yilachmu pelishtim, va yinagef Yisrael, va yanusu ish le'ohalav, Vatehi amaka gerol me'od, va yipol mi Yisrael shaloshim elef rag li. So the Philistines fought. Va yin nagef. There's that nagaf again. Notice that what conjugation is this? With the comets under the nun? Nifal. And Israel was struck. And this is from Nus. Notice the hollow verb. And they fled. Vayanusu, each one, ish, to Ohalav, to his tent. Vatehi, and so the makah, and so the defeat, it's literally the blow. So the blow was gedolah, great me'od, was very great. And yipol, from nafal, good. And there fell from Israel, Shaloshim, 30,000 Ragli footmen. 30,000 on foot. And notice the word for foot is regel, so Ragli is foot soldiers or foot men. Okay? Verse 11. Va'aron Elohim. Oh, here's the other word I want you to look at. Va'aron Elohim nilkach. Nilkach. U shnei b'nei Eli metu chofnu pinchas. Okay. Now, here's kind of the upshot. And the ark of God. Now you know. What's this? And the ark of God nilkach was taken. So what conjugation is this one? This is a Nifal perfect. Notice the lamed is here for the Nifal perfect third masculine singular. And the ark of the Lord was taken from lakach. Okay, you don't see this form very often. And here's the upshot. The two sons of Levi, Metu, died. Notice that this is a kal perfect third plural from Mut. And the two sons of Eli died, Hophni and Pinchas. Okay. Questions about verse 11? All right. Well, we got to stop here, and we'll take up what happened next week then. All right. Good enough. Thank you for coming.